You're on Texas Standard Time.
South of us, talk continuing over what President Trump described as the worst deal ever. That's NAFTA. But little is known about where we stand as the seventh round of talks wraps up in Mexico City, especially in light of new aluminum and steel tariffs President Trump announced last week, leaving lots of Texas businesses in limbo. Anna Swanson writes about trade and international economics for the New York Times, and she joins us now. Anna, welcome back to the Texas Standard.
Thank you so much.
I want to raise something that I think raised a lot of eyebrows within the past several hours. President Donald Trump dangling the possibility of lifting these new steel and aluminum tariffs he's imposed if NAFTA is renegotiated to terms he considers to be more favorable to the U.S. What's the connection?
From what we've heard, both Canada and Mexico were kind of surprised by that offer as well, because the connection isn't immediate. But the president and his advisors have been saying that if Canada and Mexico agree to a NAFTA deal that is both speedy and advantageous in the U.S. eyes, then the U.S. might lift those tariffs on steel and aluminum from their countries. And it seems like this is something that Trump and his advisors have been discussing for a couple days at least. However, it's unclear to me exactly how that would work, you know, whether you can go start exempting different countries from the tariffs for reasons like NAFTA or other trade reasons, or if that would just create a very messy process for reviewing these tariffs. So I think that that statement on the whole raises more questions than it answers.
It almost seems as if he's throwing out there the possibility of maybe having patchwork agreements with other countries that would like to see tariffs lifted. Is that the unstated concept here?
I think the unstated concept here is that the president really likes this concept of having leverage and thinks of himself as a deal maker. And so in making these tough threats on trade, he sees them as leverage to gain potentially other concessions in other areas. It's unclear if that strategy really works, though, when you're starting to deal with other countries. It seemed like from the NAFTA talks in the last few days, Canada and Mexico really weren't doing much to entertain this idea of giving up some of their NAFTA goals in order for not being hit by these tariffs. And indeed, we didn't even see much response yesterday from Canada and Mexico to the tariffs, except for the Canadian foreign minister once again repeating that tariffs on Canada would be unacceptable.
In this latest round of talks, there's been quite a bit of secrecy as the players come and go somewhat under wraps. I mean, from the descriptions that I've been reading, sort of in and out back doors and that sort of thing. And there are a lot of constituencies in the United States, a lot of manufacturers and other large companies doing business with Canada and Mexico who feel like they are not being kept in the loop. What do you make of the back and forth, the secrecy, the to and fro, the closed lips?
That's a very common complaint about trade negotiations. And negotiators will defend that as saying, well, it's much easier for us to negotiate, to stick to our negotiating points, to get a good agreement when we don't have to reveal publicly where our red lines are. And that makes sense. But also, you know, they are negotiating on behalf of the American people. They're negotiating on behalf of huge industries that are very influential for the economy. So at a certain point, members of Congress and industry say, we want information. We want more insight into what you're actually doing in this deal.
I sort of wonder how you read the tea leaves here. I mean, there are a lot of Texans and a lot of Texas company managers who don't know which way to turn, don't know how to plan their business, don't know if there's going to be a NAFTA, don't know if there's going to be an eighth or ninth round. So what do you make of this? Is there any way of crystal balling this based on certain clues?
That is the most difficult part of it. That uncertainty has really been crippling. And I think the administration is aware to a certain extent of the downside of that uncertainty. At the same time, they're pushing for these very ambitious goals. And, you know, Canada and Mexico still don't show much sign of giving in to them. So I would say on the important points, the NAFTA negotiating round still appears to be at a stalemate. I think there will be, you know, an eighth and ninth round very likely. After that, it starts to get much more hazy whether the United States will extend negotiations past the midterm elections and into the new year, whether this will kind of drag on or whether the president will try to force it to some kind of more dramatic conclusion.
As they say in radio, stay tuned. Anna Swanson is trade and international economics reporter for the New York Times. Anna, thanks again.
Thank you.